This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 51.
Hey, it's GunSully.
Hold on, I didn't even hit it. What the heck?
All right, well, hopefully it'll stay recording and not cut off again.
Okay, edit point.
Hey, this is GunSully from Washington, D.C.
And this is TechSully driving around Effingham, Illinois.
Effingham, Illinois. I hear you can have an effing good time there.
Yeah, we had an effing terrible time there as a family way back.
Oh man, it's been a crazy day. I just want to tell people if you see a minivan driving at top speeds with a front right tire just completely flat, completely gone, they might be driving away from an active shooter situation. So, you know, just give people that tip. That people might like to know that. It's been a fun day.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's been
I think the biggest news politically today, and it's terrible, terrible news for anybody that tries to be funny on a podcast. It's old Joe Hot Mike Biden is out of the running, you know, not going to throw that in.
I can't really express the depth of my disappointment, because I do like heated political debate, and I do like funny open mic gaffes and, you know, politicians that openly say, "That guy's my butt buddy. I miss you, pal." Stuff like that. I think it would have been awesome to have him in the race. Also, the fact that he would have actually given the Republicans a run for their money. When the Democrats that are in the race, every single one of them lose to Republicans. Almost all the Republicans, even. You know, like, not even just the most popular. Some of them are, you know, way down the list, Republicans, and they still beat Bernie Sanders in Congress. So it's, and they all beat Martin O'Hooey?
Well, and then Jim Webb is a threat to Twitch. Basically, everything Jim Webb says is a threat, but he threatened to run as an independent.
Yeah, I as an independent, I really appreciated Jim Webb's speech, because, you know, he said a lot of the things. I mean, I think if you're somebody who used to be a Republican or used to be a Democrat or used to be a Republican and used to be a Democrat and is now an independent, if you listen to Jim Webb's speech, you are going to agree with part of it, if not all of it. And you know, there was a poll done in January that showed there are more independents now than there are Democrats or than there are Republicans. The independent number is like in the 40s.
So you know, we started this podcast thinking we were speaking to lunatic French, but we may be the silent majority.
Right, exactly. You know, it is one of those things when you see the news media that are so Democrat, you know, apologeticists. They are literally, they were talking to one of the victim's parents, the mother of the computer guy who got murdered in Benghazi by terrorists, and they're talking to him, and the reporter is so entrenched in Democrat Party politics, she has it in her head that it makes sense to ask the mother does it bother you that this has become so partisan? Because she thinks this mother, you know, is really worried about Hillary and Hillary's chances. This is a woman who lost her son and then had Hillary Clinton say to her face, it was a horrible demonstration caused by a video right after it happened, and then, of course, finds out that was a complete lie. Do you think this woman gives a crap what party politics has to do with her son's death? It's so unbelievable.
I would be amazed if she cared one bit nickel about party politics. If we bring her kid back.
Exactly. It's, not kid. He was a grown man. But yes, no, I agree. I can say
as a parent, no matter what age your child gets, they're still your kid.
Aw.
You know?
Thanks, Hallmark card.
No, I mean, it's true, though, because it's like, I'm helping Joy do algebra, and I'm like, didn't I just change your diaper? You know, I mean, didn't that just happen? You know, I can't look at her and see, you know, the kid that's you know, wow, 7 years from college. You know, I see the kid that, you know, still is afraid to ride a bike. I see the kid that, you know, that covered herself in peanut butter 3 times. I'm talking head to toe in half the kitchen. You know, so that the parents that lose kids, you know, it's just not the natural order thing. So parents should never have to bury their kid.
Right.
And, yeah. Anytime I hear you hear, oh, free dad at a supermarket, you're like, oh, that's terrible. We're going to interview the parents. And I'm like, oh, you know, I brace for the impact because it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Sheesh. All right.
Yeah, like,
okay. Touche, you Hallmark card that can defend itself.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. I was a, you know, hurt, cold SOB before you have kids, and you're like, oh, now I totally understand butterfly kisses.
We're going to have to censor that. I will not allow butterfly kisses to be
said. Yeah, well, I edit them. Sorry, time to go hard ass again. I edit this thing.
Yes. Let me jump in here, though. On being a tough guy, I wanted to say I listened to the podcast. I absolutely loved the good recording that we did. There was a few annoying things about my speech patterns I'm going to try to work on. And you, on the other hand, this is the Midnight Storm with Tex Sully. And you were talking
I was trying not to wake my wife in the next room, who had camped out on the couch right outside of where I have all my recording gear and the computer that runs silent. So, yeah, what you heard was me smothering my laptop with a blanket so that way it didn't sound like a jet engine in the mic, and then I was trying to quietly talk directly into the microphone like George Takei.
Well, I wouldn't say George Takei because you're not calling anyone a clown in blackface, but my how everyone forgot and forgave for that.
Well, and honestly, he's like everybody's, it's like the nation's gay uncle now. His Twitter feed's adorable.
Yes, that was the moment where everyone realized he was the nation's gay and racist uncle. You know, it's supposed to be separate, you know.
I don't know. A guy that was interned in a concentration camp in the United States by the United States government, I give a lot of leeway.
Yes, but he very specifically yelled about a black person using a very specific to black people statement, because he was sure that the black guy should have agreed with him on gay rights issues. I don't know where he would get that, you know, where he would get that idea, because, you know, I'm kind of in the community here, and gay rights issues aren't, like, top priority. I don't know, it shows how out of touch he is if he thinks that.
Well, the dude's in his 70s, so yeah, that's part of the thing. Is, you know, you're 70s or 80s. I mean, he's up there.
Right.
I mean, that's the interesting thing is a lot of, you know, gay people are saying, hey, how come we're not getting any support from other put upon minority groups? And it's like, well, you know, that's the thing. Right after the whole brouhaha with Chick-fil-A came up. You know, there's a whole picture of a black church, you know, everyone in the congregation holding up their Chick-fil-A things in solidarity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, you're talking a group that, just 6 years before I was born, they would have been legally allowed to marry a white person. And then 10 years before that, you had the whole Selma civil rights thing. They don't see it as the same thing at all.
Right. Well, in many ways, in many cultural aspects, it is not the same thing. And then I understand exactly how it is the same thing. You know, legally, and how the decision went down, because I agree with the decision. I voted against DOMA in 2004 when given the opportunity on the ballot. I am pro gay marriage, but when people try to do the cultural equivalencies, you know, you can do cultural equivalencies to your blue in the face. That doesn't mean, you know, people are going to agree with it on that side. The idea, he was under the mental thought process that, hey, you know, I approve Black Lives Matter stuff, so therefore, all black people must also like gay stuff. And it's like, no, those are completely different. I mean, you've got Black Lives Matter proponents, favorite example of stupidity and craziness, Farrakhan, making videos about how it's one of the worst things in the black community is gay people walking around like it's normal. That's right. Gays walking around like it's normal.
Yeah.
It's something that a self-proclaimed leader of black people says is something, you know, we need to be confronting in the black community. That was one of his lead-ups to the Million Man March, Justice or Else, was talking about how, you know, it's really bad that the black community is allowing all these gays to walk around like it's normal. So, you've got people in the black community calling for persecution of homosexuals. Not just, oh, we don't want them to get married. Like, we want them to know it's not normal to be gay. You better go back in your hole. Like, and a lot of people go, well, it's, you know, Black Lives Matter, that's a liberal thing, and I'm a liberal, therefore, whatever this guy says is right, too. Like, no, that's not a liberal, he's not on your side on every issue, trust me.
The other irony thing, you know, with Black Lives Matter busting up Bernie Sanders, of all people, protests, and that one of the men who actually knows, knew MLK, literally, not just complete, you know, yeah, I just, the irony makes your head hurt. You're like, learning your history before you.
Well, it is one of those things, the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of people didn't understand why saying all lives matter why saying All Lives Matter was upsetting is because, and this is something you know, people need to understand, the concept behind Black Lives Matter, the concept behind the need to state the Black Lives Matter, the concept is black people are literally being hunted by white people.
Which
literally
doesn't entirely bear out statistically, but
It doesn't bear out statistically. See all the stats on police shootings. You see all the stats on white on black crime, black on black crime, black on white crime. You see all that stuff. It doesn't add up, but it doesn't matter. That is the narrative that different magazines and TV outlets went with, and they would do everything they could to try to make it out to be like, yes, blacks are killed with impunity by white people in America. I remember reading an article in Ebony where the editor is stating that she burst into tears at the Trayvon Martin verdict, and her 9-year-old son said, "Mommy, why are you crying?" And I told him, "Because a bad man who killed someone, a little boy not much older than you, has gotten away with it." And and then she expresses her fear for her son because he lives in a world where he's going to be hunted. And this is not an abnormal view. That's what the people doing the Black Lives Matter protests, that's what they thought. They thought, we need to say that Black Lives Matter because blacks literally, their lives don't matter. This is, people are out hunting black people. Which, that is what needed to be confronted. Just saying All Lives Matter doesn't confront that. As a matter of fact, it encourages that. It confusedly encourages that. What you need to state is murder is wrong. I agree with you if you're saying murder is wrong. That's what I'm going to agree with you and say that murder is wrong. People shouldn't be killing other people. Okay?
They should outlaw murder.
That's where. What was that?
They should outlaw murder. Pass a law.
Yes, they should. Should outlaw murder. What's some other things they should outlaw to make them bad? It is one of those things that I pointed it out. I said, there's no law that's going to come from any of these protests. You know, because they were, you know, making it out like, yes, we need to. You had people going to even Eric Holder, the Department of Justice head. Attorney General Eric Holder went down there and conflated, Mike Brown to Emmett Till, compared them, which, no, that's bad. It's bad for liberal rights history. If you go around, you know, saying, hey, because of a version of the story that I want to believe is true, I am going to go and demean all the history of civil rights movements leading up to now. And with my Justice Department, I will prove that the version of the story that I believe is not true. I will prove it with federal investigators that I am wrong. But running off at the cuff, I'm going to say, yes, Mike Brown is just like Emmett Till. Somebody who was raised by very civil rights conscious parents and, you know, learning about the civil rights movement and, how many arguments did we get into with people who thought you weren't supposed to date outside your race? Holy crap. You know, we're very educated on these subjects. And then to see someone as just blindingly stupid as Eric Holder, just compare a violent person who, in all appearances, attacked a police officer after robbing a store, to a 14-year-old boy who was brutally murdered by racists. I was absolutely appalled, and there's really no excuse for that. People need to stop letting
I keep harping that the guy that the guy that's the better example is, there's a couple of better examples they could use. You know, the guy getting choked out in New York, the guy who shoots the guy in the back and then tosses his taser on him, like, oh yeah, he's grabbing my taser.
But that's that guy, they didn't focus on that for a second. That cop was dead to rights. He got immediately stripped of title, rank, and thrown into jail, was basically convicted very quickly, from what I understand. That situation was a done deal, and then no BLM protest there, which doesn't, like you said, that would have been much better. That would have been a much better place to do the protest. But instead, they suspiciously pick situations where they know the police officer is in the right, or they know the police officer is not going to be punished, so that then they can continue the protest.
Yeah, I remember, I think I might have already told the story, but we were in Seattle one time. There's, and this is, you know, back 2000-ish, there's a rash of these things hit the news again. And this is kind of whenever there's not other news to talk about, I think this is what they, you know, because that's the way news works, by the way, is any number of stories could become a thing, if it's a slow news time. A good example is, do you remember when all the electric cars were catching fire?
Yes, Priuses explode on contact with American roadways.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And a Tesla caught fire and all that. You know, that was all big news until somebody broke it down and was like, okay, the same day that a Tesla caught fire and a Prius caught fire, I think something like 14 Ford Fiestas went in fuego.
Yeah.
Fiesta, fuego. Come on, I was going with both alliteration. Ford Fiesta, fuego. somebody broke down the numbers. Like, apparently, you know, the fact that there's Ford vehicles on the road, we should all be, you know, just sobbing and praying that the fiery death gods don't burn us to death, you know. But it was news because, hey, Tesla, electric car, semi-rare, now that everybody's got one. But, you know, percentage-wise, hey, you're pretty darn safe. When I was living in Seattle, there was one of the news stories where an unarmed African-American was shot by a cop, and they were going to break out the protest engine when the African-American partner of the cop said the only reason my partner shot him was because he was protecting me, and had I been able to get to my gun, I would have shot him first.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't unarmed. He had a 40-pound rock he was swinging around or something. He had some kind of deadly weapon. It wasn't
right.
He just didn't have a classic, easy to identify on the chart weapon, but yeah, the guy was attempting to kill an officer, and so you know it that one ended up getting diffused quick. And I wonder if and this is where I say, hey, the tech solution is put the body cameras on the cops.
Yeah, I
answered the cops' queries, and it solves the public thing, because the precincts that have, and I was reading the article, I'll see if I can find that article again, because the numbers were astounding. The number of complaints of police brutality dropped by a factor of double or triple. So, in other words, either people are, either the cops are behaving better and not brutalizing, or the fact that there's evidence shows
about them as easily. It's just one of those things you always have to think of. Have you ever lied in your life? It's a developmental milestone, so likely you probably have lied, right? At some point in your life.
No, I've never lied.
There you go. At least one lie. Okay.
Exactly.
There you go. You have lying is literally a developmental milestone for human beings. And you have murder on the other spectrum, okay? Well, which one do you think people more likely do in their lifetime? Murder someone or lie? So obviously
it depends,
that 100%.
It depends if I've had my coffee that morning.
Yes. Well, my point is you have 100% of the population that lies, and maybe 0.01% of the population, probably smaller than that, that murders people. Yet, I've been at several crime scenes where a police officer has tried to murder someone in cold blood. They came in the room waving their guns around, and they tried to murder this person. Now, mind you, some of the times guns weren't even drawn. There were no guns drawn. Some of the times there was a fight that the police officers were breaking up. But the lie is these people were literally trying to murder someone. So, you know, the question that should go through people's heads, which doesn't, people just immediately go, why would the cops try to murder people? Why would the cops murder that guy? Is it the color of his skin? Well, someone said that he was trying to murder the person. Well, okay. Which is more common, lying or murdering? And yes, obviously, lying is more common than murdering. Therefore, maybe you should think that the person might have just been lying about the cop trying to murder a bunch of people.
So that's where I'm saying the tech solution is, hey, you know, everybody's got cameras on them. The kinds of, you know, I mean, because honestly, in every group of people, there are malicious IT guys. They read your email. They delete emails out of your thing. We had somebody we fired years ago because, not at my current job, but, you know, because they're reading the emails. And that's depending on where you are and the circumstances, that's legal or illegal. But, you know, they were reading and possibly deleting emails before people saw them.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, whenever I'm, and this is the thing I've taught anybody I've taught, when you're in somebody else's email, you're blind. You can set their out of office, but you don't see the titles, you don't see the who and the from, the to and the from. You know, just be blind. Blur your eyes, because, you know, you'll learn things about people you don't want to know. Early on in my career, I had a mail stuck in the mail queue that I had to go in and edit to, you know, fix the mail. And it was a communication between lovers using their work email because their spouses would probably have intercepted other emails. So, you know, you're like, wish I hadn't seen that because, you know, now I know exactly what's going on, you know. So, yeah, that's the thing. In every industry, there are bad eggs. Well, you know, if we had a camera on every IT guy or, you know, a screen recorder going on every IT guy, and some of the big tech support shops do, you know, it cuts down on those people being shady because they know, hey, they're going to get busted if they're searching a girl's hard drive for, you know, bikini pictures or whatever. They know they're getting watched, being watched, so they behave better. And so if you have a cop who's borderline, you know, kind of a jerk anyway, you put a camera on him, chances are he might decide he doesn't need to be quite so much a jerk anymore.
Right. Yeah. And and like I've said, in all the situations I've heard of officers wearing recording devices, the only complaint they get is, are you recording me? That's the only complaint they get, as opposed to, clearly you're a racist who's trying to murder my children.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you gotta be an absolute crazy psychopath to be just killing people based on, I mean, there's a lot of reasons you'd want to kill somebody, you know, the spouses in my aforementioned story.
Yes.
Might have had a decent motivation and or reasoning behind wanting to get some killing on. But by the same token, you are a horrible person if you're looking at somebody going, I'm going to kill this person because of their skin color.
Yes, that is definitely not something that is directly affecting your life.
So, I mean, you know, And that's what I'm saying is, you know, if people know they're being recorded, everybody behaves a little bit better.
Yes. No, I completely agree with you, which is kind of funny because a lot of the Black Lives Matter protester, you know, people that actually think about the situation, that's the only real viable goal that they came up with was, well, cops should wear body cameras. You know, the other goals that they had were just ridiculous stuff like basically like only black people were allowed to patrol in black communities, or there should be like red areas where cops do not go, or the cops should be disarmed completely, which all of those things are ridiculous. And can I just mention the first one, the only black cops in black areas, that's racist. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's
black cops. No, it's racist because you're saying only black cops. That's what racism is.
Yeah, lady in front of me thinks I'm talking to her, so I'm going to hold my phone up conspicuously. even though I'm talking through my hands free, so I don't look like a stalker, because I'm sitting in a parking lot now. As a matter of fact, I only have about 4 minutes. We can pause and come back, I've always stressed, usually there's a technological solution to any problem. It's one of those things where you think out of the box and you'll come up with a solution. But like you're talking about, having where people have to pass a racial test, if you've ever had a friend that's a super fair skinned, African American, they get treated different, by both sides. Especially here in the South, the one girl I knew, she's like, I'm not black enough for some folks, and I'm too black for anybody else. So, are you going to have a thing going? Oh, a color chart you got to stand next to before you're allowed to patrol certain areas.
Yes, it'll be swatches. There will be like a community leader will come out and go, excuse me, sir. You need to be at least this black to patrol in this community. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, like, how about you just put anybody out there, Asian, white, Hispanic, black, whatever, and just put a camera on them so that they, you can see that they didn't at any point say, yes, I'm here in this black neighborhood to kill some black people. And then, if they say that, then Officer Nguyen, Officer Alvaro or Officer Smith might need to be fired. But definitely need to be fired if they say that exact thing. But aside from that, they put cameras on them and then they just go and do their friggin' job and that's it.
All right, so let's recap it. Biden not running, terrible for us who like making jokes, and him actually doing hilarious things, and also potentially being a strong candidate. Technology good, racism bad.
Oh, that's a great summary. Okay.
There you go.
Just cut out everything that we said, and then just put that on there.
Yeah, 18-second podcast. There you go. All right. Well, it was good wiretapping with you.
Yeah, well, let me just jump in real quick. We got the Hillary hearings tomorrow. I'm going to try to live tweet that from the podcast Twitter.
I'll remind everybody not to have a drinking name on that because you will die of alcohol poisoning.
You will die. Even though not a drinking game, if she does scream, what difference does it make? You do need to run out, stop doing what you're doing, and run out and just chug a bottle. But aside from that, I want to do a shout out to two of my military buddies who were throwing down on our forum today on Facebook. We want to hold out hold out till after the forum because after the hearing tomorrow because the legitimacy of command of the executive branch is basically what's being discussed in the Benghazi hearing because apparently, and a lot of people don't know what it is, they think, oh, it's about partisan, which means you should ignore it entirely, which, no, you shouldn't ignore it entirely. If negligence got four people killed, or if criminal behavior got four people killed, you need to look into it. It is not a partisan issue, even if it was. Even if every Republican is foaming at the mouth saying, I want Hillary's head, guess what? There is a situation here that needs to be looked into. So even if it is a partisan issue, it's still a serious issue. And thing we all want to know from the actual military side of things is, was there a stand-down order given? And who was it given by? A stand-down order was supposedly given to all the military military bases within drop distance of the Benghazi outposts, AFRICOM, and even we have troops all over the place, and they were all told, do not intervene. So we want to know why. We want to know who gave that order. Supposedly Ambassador Stevens was raped and tortured for 7 hours before dying. And Hillary Clinton, her State Department said, you know, do not interfere military.
Hmm.
So that's what the Benghazi thing is. I don't think anyone really explains it like that. Everyone's like, well, something. Well, you know, there's plenty to complain about, because right after that, our government tried to do the most bungled cover-up in the world. They tried to say it was because of a video. Ansar al-Sharia attack.
Well, and that is what you and I always talk about. The video is free speech, and if you're talking about free speech that you don't like, the answer is more speech, you know?
Right, but that's the thing, though. That video had 300 views on YouTube, and it was just something that they found and said, oh, boy, there's going to be huge demonstrations in Cairo that are going to make us look bad, and the demonstrations were planned by the Muslim Brotherhood. The people that we supported, that's going to make us look really bad. Quick. Find a reason for them to be rioting that won't make us look bad, because the Cairo demonstrations were the Muslim Brotherhood. They were demonstrating in mass and in power because we had supported the Muslim Brotherhood to take over Egypt, and that same year we had killed Osama bin Laden earlier in 2012. So that being the case, was it 2012 or 2011? Anyway, we had killed Osama bin Laden earlier, which you know Obama was taking full credit for. So that all was going down. Muslim Brotherhood was angry with something that we had done, and so in order to try to defuse that, the State Department puts out a tweet saying, this is not us. We didn't make this video. Please don't take it out on us. And video was found on the internet and blamed for the demonstrations, even though the people were holding signs that said, we are all Osama.
Okay, yeah, so Hillary Clinton Benghazi investigation, my point was, everyone keeps saying, it's partisan. That would be like saying, you know, hey, there's a domestic dispute between this husband and wife couple. So the husband, who we don't like, will benefit if the wife goes to jail for drunk driving and murdering someone with her car. So we shouldn't prosecute her for drunk driving and murdering someone with their car. Of course you should. I don't care what the husband thinks. I don't care if this is a partisan issue. if this is a domestic issue, I don't care if it's a chicken versus egg argument issue. I don't give a crap. I only care about the justice for the people who were killed brutally on Hillary Clinton's watch after she signed paperwork saying that she was not going to let them have any more security in their budget while they were begging for it. And she herself may have given a stand-down order to ensure that they were murdered that night. So that's what I care about. And is it a partisan issue? Go screw yourself if you keep asking that question. And, yes, CNN, so completely out of touch, so embedded with the Democrat Party that they cannot look at a situation independently whatsoever. From an independent perspective, get your head out of your tuchus and report the friggin' news.
I'm so glad that you used my word. I absolutely love using the word tuchus. That's the thing I want truth to out. And hey, if Hillary is like, you know, clearly she's sending text messages saying, no, defend yourselves, fight to the last. Remember the Alamo, you know, then fine, let that come out during the thing.
Right.
You know, if she's
something
like, hey, stand down.
Yeah, something tells me, since she was going to great lengths to hide everything she was writing, something tells me it isn't wildly, blindingly patriotic and heartwarming stuff. Something tells me it's more like protect our assets in AFRICOM, mind your own business. That's what I'm guessing her messages probably were. Just a guess. I think we would have been seeing these messages splayed out all over media. Oh, look at the heroic thing she was saying. All right. I think we've done a good day. A good day of recording a good wiretap here. We've covered a few issues.
I think so too. Very cool.
Star Wars. Did you pee yourself when you saw the promo?
Signal lost. Attempting to reconnect.
Hey, we're just jumping back here because we forgot to mention that it is Back to the Future Day. So happy Back to the Future Day. Hoverboards, all that stuff. Cracked has gone to great length to explain away why everything sucks instead of being awesome. So check it out. And also, Backyard of the White House has a funny Back to the Future Day.
For my own personal experience, my kids have never seen the original Back to the Future. So tonight we sat them down in beautiful Valdosta, Georgia, where we live, and made them watch. I made it from Effingham, Illinois, to Valdosta, Georgia, in one day. We sat them down, made them watch the show, and Joy, her take on 80s fashion was hilarious. She's like, all the women have helmets of hair. They're like, everybody has afros. And then she says, everybody's dressed like they're about to go work out.
You know, I think it's funny that she says that because in the city, everyone dresses like that at all times. So that is true about the future. Women just walk around in spandex for no reason.
Tomorrow night we're going to we'll have the Back to the Future 2. I really should have timed this better. Should have had Back to the Future yesterday,
Future 1,
today. Although 2 is not as good a film as 1.
Yeah.
It spends a lot of time being dark.
All right, I gotta jump. I got work stuff. Vaya con Dios, hermano.
All right, we'll see you all in 30 years.
Bye.
Bye-bye.